Welcome, dear listener, to the Religions Podcast. I'm your host, Stephen Gardner. Religions is where we, through story, talk about the most important spiritual and scientific truths that have been given to humanity. Today's story is a true story. It's not my own. It is an event that happened to a boy named Joseph Smith Jr. over 200 years ago. But it was a moment in history that was very important and has very strong implications for each of us in the world today. I will, after reading the story, talk a little bit about some of the truths that we learn from it, as well as some of the implications and what they are. I had planned on sharing a different truth with you today, but I had trouble getting it ready in time. The difficulty I found was that I needed to lay some groundwork, which would help prepare you to understand what I'm going to share next time. And so today's story and the truths that we learn from it will help lay that groundwork. I will be releasing the story and the truth that I wanted to share in 4 weeks, so we'll get to that one a little bit later. With no further ado, here is our story for today. At about the age of 12 years, my mind became seriously impressed with regard to the all-important concerns for the welfare of my immortal soul, which led me to searching the Scriptures, believing, as I was taught, that they contained the Word of God, and thus applying myself to them. My intimate acquaintance with those of different denominations led me to marvel exceedingly, for I discovered that they did not adorn their profession by a holy walk and godly conversation agreeable to what I found contained in that sacred depository. This was a grief to my soul. Thus, from the age of 12 years to 15, I pondered many things in my heart concerning the situation of the world of mankind, the contentions and divisions, the wickedness and abominations, and the darkness which pervaded the minds of mankind. My mind became exceedingly distressed, for I became convicted of my sins, and by searching the Scriptures I found that mankind did not come unto the Lord, but that they had apostatized from the true and living faith. And there was no society or denomination that was built upon the gospel of Jesus Christ as recorded in the New Testament. I felt to mourn for my own sins and for the sins of the world, for I learned in the Scriptures that God was the same yesterday, today, and forever, that He was no respecter of persons, for He was God. For I looked upon the sun, the glorious luminary of the earth, and also the moon, rolling in their majesty through the heavens, and also the stars, shining in their courses, and the earth upon which I stood, and the beasts of the field, and the fowls of heaven, and the fish of the waters, and also man, walking forth upon the face of the earth in majesty and in the strength of beauty, whose power and intelligence in governing the things which are so exceedingly great and marvelous, even in the likeness of Him who created them. And when I considered upon these things, my heart exclaimed, "Well hath the wise man said, it is a fool that saith in his heart, there is no God." My heart exclaimed, all these bear testimony and bespeak an omnipotent and omnipresent power, a being who maketh laws, and decreeth and bindeth all things in their bounds, who filleth eternity, who was and is and will be from all eternity to eternity. And I considered all these things, and that that being seeketh such to worship Him, as worship Him in spirit and in truth. Therefore I cried unto the Lord for mercy, for there was none else to whom I could go and obtain mercy. And the Lord heard my cry in the wilderness. And while in the attitude of calling upon the Lord, in the 16th year of my age, a pillar of light above the brightness of the sun at noonday came down from above and rested upon me. I was filled with the Spirit of God. And the Lord opened the heavens upon me, and I saw the Lord. And He spake unto me, saying, "Joseph, my son, thy sins are forgiven thee, Go thy way, walk in my statutes, and keep my commandments. Behold, I am the Lord of glory. I was crucified for the world, that all those who believe on my name may have eternal life. Behold, the world lieth in sin at this time, and none doeth good, no, not one. They have turned aside from the gospel, and keep not my commandments. They draw near to me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me. And mine anger is kindled against the inhabitants of the earth, to visit them according to their ungodliness, and to bring to pass that which hath been spoken by the mouth of the prophets and apostles. Behold, and lo, I come quickly, as it is written of me in the cloud, clothed in the glory of my Father. My soul was filled with love, and for many days I could rejoice with great joy. The Lord was with me, but I could find none that would believe the heavenly vision. Nevertheless, I pondered these things in my heart.
Thank you for joining us today for the podcast. To wrap this up, I would like to say a few words of my own about the truths that I learn from the account shared by Joseph Smith Jr. First, I learned that God really does live, and He really did create all things that we see in our current state of existence, all the things that we can behold, detect, discover. Joseph admitted to having faith that He existed even before he prayed. If he didn't, he likely wouldn't have even made the attempt to pray. The spirituality inherently felt in nature had worked on him already. And I believe he felt the same childlike, powerful wonder in nature that I spoke of 2 weeks ago. If you allow yourself to look at the earth, the life on it, your own body, and the powerful way in which it can self-heal, how it can take visible light from the different spectra that are out there, and you can see things, how you can hear vibrations in the air that we call sound. If you think about all of these things, you can't help but marvel and wonder. When I was younger, I heard an analogy that I still think is a useful one to talk about how I feel on this topic. Imagine seeing a beautiful Swiss crafted clock, one of the big ones that you'd hang on the wall. It was painstakingly carved with wooden exterior that shows figures of deer, birds, and other animals. It has an intricate mechanism on the inside, which takes advantage of gravity and some metal weights that look like pine cones to help keep the system running. You only have to wind it up about once every week or so. And if you do that, with that mechanism and the precision of the brass and the steel parts that are on the inside, it'll keep time really well. Working in tandem, that timekeeping mechanism works with a secondary mechanism, which manifests itself by another ornately carved figure of a bird, which is behind a door, which automatically opens. And the bird and the sound of a bird happen every half hour and every hour. On the hour, the bird moves the number of times that is marked by the hour hand. And you hear the same number of chirps from the cuckoo mechanism of the clock. So the clock represents an amazing replica of much of the natural world. You have the wildlife and other things portrayed there. You have the round clock face, which goes around twice each time that the earth grows around one time in order to mark the hour. Now, can you imagine thinking for one moment that the clock created itself? That through some crazy interaction of a storm, an earthquake, or some other natural event of some kind, that the carvings and the shapely form of the clock just came together? The idea would be ludicrous. Yet, so many people, lost in their own incomplete sense of logic, can imagine that the very world that the clockmakers spend so much time and energy just trying to replicate in the clock, they imagine that that natural world came about by some uncontrolled and undesigned process. Now, obviously thinking a clock, people would say, you're crazy if you think that a clock would just come together by itself. But just take one piece of the human body, let's say like the eye or the ear that we talked about previously. Either one of those is infinitely more complex than the whole clock that we just talked about. Isn't it a little absurd to think that that would come about all by itself? Well, I think so. And Joseph wondered how the existence of God could be denied as well, just like I do. The second thing I learned from the story I shared today is that God will answer our prayers. We are most prepared to receive an answer when we are doing all that we can. Like Joseph mentioned, he was searching the scriptures, as he was taught to do. And when we have a sincere determination to find an answer, it's more likely that we will get one. It's like a student that I once had in a class who had that age-old question of, when are we ever going to use this in our lives? Well, I gave her a wonderful answer, which she promptly ignored, and if I remember correctly, she even rolled her eyes at me. She didn't want an answer. She wanted an excuse to disregard what was being taught. If you're looking for the same, then we probably shouldn't expect God to give us an answer. We need to really be looking for an answer and really want the answer, or he won't let us have it. Third, I learned that God acts when timing is right. Joseph was conflicted because of the conditions that surrounded him. He didn't talk about it at length in this version, but he did in another version. He lived in what later would be called the burnt over district, which was called that because the number of fiery revivals in the area at that time was just tremendous. It was a confusing time, and it was a confusing time to be searching for a religion. Freedom of religion that had been established in the country for only, you know, about 30 years. The ratification of the Bill of Rights and the Constitution happened 28 years prior to the time that Joseph received that revelation and the vision that we talked about. This, among many other things, in the brand new nation made it open season for proselyting new converts. And I am so glad that things were hitting a fever pitch right at the time that they did, and that Joseph was in the situation where he would be asking for help. He was in that confusion and he needed an answer. I'm glad he did. We live in an equally confusing time today. We might ask ourselves, are we looking for answers and guidance as Joseph did? It's a time that's really hard to know what is right and what is wrong. There are a lot of voices crying out this and that, and we need to know what is right and wrong, and we need to have a way to find out. He taught us, right here in this story, a way that we can find out. The fourth thing I learned. God gives us laws and asks us to follow them. Just as he told Joseph to keep his commandments, he wants each of us to do the same. The modern-day prophet, Russell M. Nelson, wants to, as his wife Wendy Watson Nelson stated, not only bring the gospel to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, he wants to bring the blessings of the gospel to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. An interesting distinction there. He wants to bring those blessings. Now, the blessings of the gospel cannot be enjoyed if people don't know what the commandments of the Lord are. If we don't obey the commandments of the Lord, we don't enjoy the blessings that come from obedience to those commandments. So if we want to enjoy the blessings associated with obedience, we need to obey. And in order to obey, we need to know what the commandments are. He who knows us better than we know ourselves, being the great Creator and our Savior Jesus Christ, know how we can best reach our potential. They know us. They know what we need. And that's why they give us commandments. He wants us to achieve our maximum potential. We can't if we are constantly living with the consequences of living in ways that are contrary to our natures. And so we need to learn those commandments, and we need to follow them, as was counseled by the Lord himself to Joseph Smith during this vision. The fifth thing I learned, that we are all children of God. As the Lord said, as he was quoted by Joseph in this story that I read to you, he said, "Joseph, my son, thy sins are forgiven thee." We are his children. And that explains why he cares enough about us to share commandments with us, as I mentioned in number 4. He has a vested interest in us. Well, there are several things we could learn. That's 5 that I caught. There are many things that we could learn from this vision, and hopefully many more things that you did learn. If you have one that you'd like to share with me, I would love to hear about it. Please send me a message through the website at religions.org. That's the first 5 letters of the word religion and the last 5 letters of the word science. Again, that's religions.org. With this, we will conclude the episode of our Religions podcast for today. Thanks so much for taking the time to join us on the show. I hope that you enjoyed it, and I hope that you will take time to share this with others. Also, if you listen to the show through a medium that will allow you to, please take the time to thoughtfully review and rate the show. It means a lot if you help us out, and it helps get the word to others. I would like to thank, well, I might need help with these, Plant Monkey and Pecorac from freesounds.org for their sounds, which I used in the story. They had the water and the birds in the background, the forest sound. It was convenient not to have to go record those myself, and I appreciate their help with that. Until next time, I'm Stephen Gardner, and we'll talk to you in 2 weeks with the next episode of Religions.